This episode of Ticket Ripper is brought to you by 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, the hype is a lie. Welcome back. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, is Benjamin, your humble host, the greatest host of all time. Welcome to the podcast, the Ticket Ripper Podcast. We be ripping, we be dripping, and everything else, you know? But yeah. Dear 7-Eleven, that intro is a joke. I don't know if you know that by my intonations, but that is a joke. Please don't come after me. But also, you're not that great. For some reason, like, people from California, people from other places in the country, they always want me to believe, like, because I grew up in Kansas, and that's, I'm okay releasing that information. I'm not doxing myself to six people by telling them I live in Kansas. Half of you are probably in Kansas. I love all six of you, by the way. All six of you, I don't know who you are because the app doesn't tell me, but I love you. In Kansas, we don't have 7-Elevens because 7-Elevens are garbage. And we don't do garbage in Kansas, apparently. Our gas stations are primo. So everybody would always talk like, oh man, like 7-Elevens, like the Slurpees or whatever they're called, the Icy's, all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, Icy's are, I think they call them, I forget what they're called, but I think it's a Slurpee at 7-Eleven, which, by the way, also, it's just a slushy. Like, it's the same exact thing that you could get anywhere else. Like, I don't even think that they, like, have their own flavors. Like, it's legitimately just, it's the same thing. But everybody hyped it up so much. So I get here to Texas. ATX, baby! H-E-B! And I get here to Texas and I go to 7-Eleven because there's literally 40 of them in a 1 mile radius, because 7-Eleven just has no regulations on how many 7-Elevens can exist in a 1 mile span. So there's just 1,000 of them. You go to the 7-Eleven and it's not that great. Everybody's like, oh, the food is great. And I'm like, yeah, but there's no food ever. Because I swear to God, they make like four burritos in the morning and that's it. They're just like, eh, like if you ain't one of the four people who got the burritos, sorry. And I'm like, okay. And then you try the burrito and it's been sitting out in the sun cooking for 3 hours, which normally, like, at other gas stations in Kansas, like, you eat a hot dog that's been sitting on that roller grill for a good couple hours, like, she still slaps. I'm not gonna lie. Quick Trip. We got Quick Trips here too, but Quick Trip hot dogs are on another level. I just ate Quick Trip hot dogs, so this is not a sponsored episode. But I mean, hey, Quick Trip, you want to give me that sweet money? I will exclusively get my gas from you. No, 7-Elevens are just like anywhere else. Like I don't understand where all the hype was. The Slurpees aren't that great. The soda, like, the machine was broken for a while. So I was just like, okay, but I imagine it's just soda, right? And they're like, yeah. But, like, other than that, like, nah. It's got to be, like, on the bottom of the list of, like, gas stations out there. I don't know what everybody thought was going down, like, with the 7-Elevens, but it ain't it. Like, I had chicken strips one time, and I was just like, yeah, these are Tyson's frozen chicken strips. You guys are freaking out over Tyson's frozen chicken strips that have been sitting out under a heat lamp for literally 2 hours. The pizza, like, some of them have Hunt Brothers Pizza, which, by the way, Hunt Brothers Pizza is actually pretty dope. But, like, other than that, if they don't have the Hunt Brothers Pizza, like, I taste it and I'm just like, yeah, this is the Red Baron. Like, this is nothing incredible because it's a gas station. You people are insane. And the hype wasn't there. Now you want to talk about hype. Stripes are on a different level. Stripes don't even just, like, because Quick Trip is one of those, like, fancy schmancy places. We got them here. We had them in Kansas. But in Kansas, they were like going insane with the quick trips. Like every single quick trip, they started modifying them to have their own basically like food court built into it. They made like pretzels. They made brisket sandwiches. Some locations had like weird like barbacoa tacos. And I did say barbacoa and pronounced it correctly because your boy's a Mexican. And if that's a problem with you, get the hell out of here. If that's a problem with you, I'm gonna tell you how my dad used to say it to me when he was mad at me when I was a kid. He'd be like, "Salte de mi vista," which means get the hell out of here, huh? If that's a problem with you, beat it, kid. Beat it. Get in your lifted Ford pickup truck and beat it. Because Mexicans only drive shit. No doubt in my mind, if you're driving a Ford, you're whitewashed. This episode is already starting off so bad. I've been talking about gas stations for 5 minutes, but that's what you come here for, right? Let's be real here. I can tell you, we're not a movie podcast anymore. We're a movie podcast. We're a conspiracy podcast. Now, apparently, we're a gas station review podcast, which I'm okay with. Gas stations are pretty gross. And we're going to add another topic on later, but I want to talk about that in a second. But, yeah, like, Quick Trips, like, they had, like, barbacoa tacos and stuff like that, but it's all in, like, one little kitchen. And, like, I'm like, you can't focus on that many things. Like, you can't provide me with, like, a bacon, you can't give me, like, a banging BLT and then hand me a warm pretzel. Like, that's just weird. Stripes, they went all in. Like, they cashed in on the taco train. A lot of them have this, like, I forget what the name was. A lot of them have this, like, taco chain just working out of a Stripes. Like, multiple Stripes. Like, any Stripes you go to, there's going to be one of, I believe, two taco chains that are working inside. And it's not like, it's just, you know, it's a little tiny little kitchen that, no. You can make a burrito with, like, it's like a Subway for taco meat. But the taco stuff, you go over there and you look at it and you're like, oh, this isn't, like, cheapo frozen barbacoa that we're just like heating up or anything like that. No, like the stuff looks good. You walk in, it smells good. I bought a piece of fried chicken from a Stripes one time. One of the best pieces of fried chicken I've ever eaten in my life. Now you're probably wondering, is this dude a psychopath? Who eats fried chicken? And I'm not gonna lie to you, it wasn't from the little food court place, like the little taco people place. No. I bought fried chicken out of one of those little like warm refrigerators, the ones that you like self-serve, the little self-serve thing. I walked in and this thing was packed to the full, which I never see. You never see gas stations have it packed to the full. So I said, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I was hungry. We were on a drive back from McAllen, and I was just like, you know, I'm hungry. Your boy's got to do what he's going to do. I might die tonight because my dad drives like a lunatic. I said, I might die tonight. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some of this fried chicken. I'm going to get this fried chicken in. Like, be it dysentery or my dad's driving, I'm going to see Jesus tonight. And let me tell you, that fried chicken was bomb. When I had that fried chicken and I knew how, and I tasted how good it was, I was like, yep, it's dad's driving then. But the chicken was so good. And I can't explain because it's a gas station. But anyway, like the 7-Eleven hype, like there are, Texas surpassed 7-Eleven a long time ago, and yet for some reason 7-Eleven is just booming down here. I cannot tell you how many 7-Eleven, Valero 7-Eleven, Chevron 7-Eleven, the stupid other places, Route 66 or whatever the hell the other one's called, 7-Eleven, they're attached to any gas station. I miss the good old days when the people who sold you the gas were the same people who sold you the fried chicken. But I guess, you know, that's just, and it's the same thing with Stripes. Like, you see a Stripes and it's connected almost all the time to, like, I forget what it's called. It's like Sunvale or something like that. I don't care. It's a gas station. And I've been talking about this for 10 minutes and you've been listening. And if you've made it this far, I love you. And that's just it, dude. And that's just it. It's all love, baby. It's all love, baby. But we're going to talk about trailers now, or trailer, as I should say, because, again, if you go to the trailers recently, like, what do you see? It's just 1,000 foreign movies. Now, it's not even, like, I think the Asian side of the planet is done for a little bit, because now it's just French people. Like, it's just French everywhere. Like, I think they give certain countries the front seat every once in a while, but it looks, you open it up, it just looks French as hell. And then also like PlayStation, because apparently IMDb cares about games, question mark, which is beside the point. The trailer we're going to be talking about today is the only trailer that matters. I got to see it online yesterday on YouTube, which I thought it was a fan trailer because of the fact that it was uploaded by it was uploaded. You ever see the trailer uploaded by some random YouTube channel, like third party? And I'm just like, this has got to be fake. But you watch it and you're like, all right, like, cool. And it didn't help that that Neo in this movie. We're talking about The Matrix, but it didn't help that Neo in this movie looks like, he looks exactly like John Wick. It looks like John Wick in The Matrix, which honestly isn't a horrible idea. That sounds rad. I think The Matrix, this movie, should just be a battle royale, and it's just like you start off and it's The Matrix, but then all of a sudden, like, he jumps out of they throw him out of a plane or something like that, and it's about, like, not even subtle, just like as he's falling, the title Fortnite just pops up and like woo, like whooshes by, not even subtle, just The Matrix is a video game. if you haven't seen the new Matrix, I think it's called Matrix Resurrections. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I like it. If you're a fan of the first Matrix movie, because you cannot be a fan of the second or the third Matrix movie. If you are, you're a psychopath and you need to be studied, and not even just like studied like on a note. And like, we don't need to psychiatrically study you like on a notebook and paper. If you like the second or the third Matrix movie, you are so psychologically messed up. We should actually crack your noggin open and take a look inside. Cause like, I genuinely want to understand what biologically would make you think that you would like that movie, because it doesn't work. Those movies were weird, man. The first one, which to be fair, the first one was weird, but the first one felt like a movie that was like if you look at The Matrix as one movie, it's fallen, dude. The Matrix is such a good movie, and then you watch The Matrix 2 and you're like, yeah, I could have done without that. And all of a sudden there's some albino dudes with dreads. There's like, and they're like phasing through walls and stuff, and like cars. Like, the visual effects in these movies are cool. And that's one of the things that I like about this trailer, is that the Wachowskis, which are if you didn't notice by the scathing review that I gave Cloud Atlas 10 years after it released, I'm not a fan of the Wachowskis. I do not like a lot of the stuff that the Wachowskis do. They are super ambitious and they make weird movies, and they make them in a weird way. And they make decisions that don't make sense. You could go into 1,000,000,000 different reasons why. It's nothing to do with like them or their personal lives, like, whatsoever. Which, I mean, that's kind of like low hanging fruit for anybody like who's like, if you're trying to find a reason why I don't like the Wachowskis and you love the Wachowskis, it's not anything to do with their like personal lives whatsoever. It's literally just because of the fact that they, like, other than The Matrix, I do not think I have enjoyed one of their movies. The Wachowskis. Of course, it's not going to come up under the Wachowskis on here, but you can find them individually. Lana Wachowski's one of them. Let's see what they've done, because they work together a lot. Yeah, Jupiter Ascending was garbage. Cloud Atlas was garbage. Speed Racer, was that directed or written by them? Honestly, if you tell me that they're directed, yeah. Speed Racer was definitely different, but it was good. I liked Speed Racer. V for Vendetta was good. Yeah, so I guess, you know, I do like, that makes two. V for Vendetta was cool. Let's see. And then, yeah, then it's The Matrix. And then it's The Matrix movies. But yeah, dude. I'm not a fan. Like, that's two, or that's three movies over the span of, let's see when The Matrix was. The Matrix was in 1999. So that's 20-ish years ago, 22 years ago, 21 years ago now. That's three movies in the span of 20 years that were passable. Like, Speed Racer, like I said, it's very strange. It's very different. And I'm hoping that they don't... One of the things that I don't like that movies do, which it does look like they're doing in this movie a bit, is I don't like this whole, like, oh, the movies have to be undeniably connected to each other. Like, yes, it is the same character, like Neo, or, yeah, Neo is still, Keanu Reeves is still Neo in this movie. But one of the stupidest things that I hate that these movies do, not that these movies, but like movies where like there's like a super, super far in the distance, like, oh, 21 years ago, like we made this movie and now we're making this movie, which is not a remake, it's a sequel, but just way in the future and now everybody's old and stuff, which for some reason is a bit now or is a thing that what people want. But the thing about those movies is they have this horrendously desperate need to make the movies connected. So in this trailer in Matrix Resurrections, you can see that there's a chick with the bunny tattoo because of the Alice, and it's like a metaphor, not a metaphor, but it's a callback to the first movie where it's like follow the white rabbit, because Neo is like Alice going through down the rabbit hole. And I'm just like, bro, I've seen the other movie. Like, why are there two people with a bunny rabbit? It wasn't even that, like, it feels like they're trying to, like, oh, we're gonna remake it all, but not really. Also, Neo's dead, bro. So I'm excited to see how they bring that back. Because, honestly, like, I feel like I was drunk watching this trailer. Because I was watching it, and it was just like, this feels like a fan-made trailer. And then stuff started going insane. And that's the other thing. Or, like, as much as, you know, I can talk crap on the fact that, like, this movie's gonna be a nostalgia, like, binge. Like, there's just gonna be nonstop nostalgia. They cast a dude who, by the way, looks remarkably like Morpheus when he was young. Lawrence Fishburne. He looks insanely exactly like Morpheus during The Matrix 1, which, perfect casting. Perfect casting. But also, why did we need Morpheus to be back in The Matrix? Morpheus could have been old too. Morpheus was an actual human being too. So I don't know where this storyline is going, but I don't know if that is Morpheus. If it isn't Morpheus, let me tell you this, they went way out of their way to make it look like Morpheus. He looks identical to Lawrence Fishburne when he was in 1999. Which, by the way, Lawrence Fishburne, 20 years, man. Dude, 99, you were peak, bro. Lawrence Fishburne should have been in way more stuff. Which, I mean, it's really funny to say about Lawrence Fishburne, but still, like, this dude was Morpheus. That movie rocked. What was I even talking about? I was talking about The Matrix. Oh, once you get into the action-y part of this trailer, like, that's why the Wachowskis, what they were doing worked with The Matrix, the original one, is because of the fact that, like, the concept of that movie is so nuts and it's so mind-bending. And then you get the visuals where, like, people are floating. People, like, Bullet Time was revolutionary. But the thing is, Bullet Time, because people have tried to do stuff like Bullet Time in other movies, it did not work because it didn't have the weird, like, Matrix-y charm to it. The Wachowskis, like... It's so insane how stark the contrast is between the original Matrix and the rest of them, because the Wachowskis nailed it, yo. They nailed it on that first one, man. The Bullet Time stuff, the visual effects, the things that they played with were, like, so, like, odd to do at the time. Like, nobody was doing anything remotely close to it, and they were taking risks on this movie, and they paid off miraculously. And that's one of the things that I'm excited to see if after 20-ish you know, maybe I think the last one released in, because that's the thing about it. They like they really caked it on. Like there was one like the Animatrix and all this kind of crap. The Path of Neo was a video game and all that kind of stuff. Like they really dragged it on for a little longer. The Matrix, the last one, released in 2003. So yeah. I mean, still like what, 19, 18 years ago, somewhere around there. I don't do math. I failed college algebra 3 times. Don't get off my case, bro. But I'm excited to see what they can do now. Like Cloud Atlas, obviously, like they did that. I don't know what drugs they were doing when they made that movie, but it must have been a bunch of them. But I want, like, the Wachowskis' little gimmick, their weird, like, movie revolutionary, like, oh, I have this idea in my brain of making this movie so out of, like, out over the top. It works in the Matrix universe because it's essentially, when you think about it, it's a video game. Anything can happen, and there's this character who's, like, all-powerful, the protagonist. It's such a good concept, and the weird stuff that happens in the movies works so well with that in brain, and the way that they play it off, the way that they, you know, execute these shots are incredible in the first movie and in the rest of them. But you know, the story just kind of loses its brain. And that's one of the things I'm really excited for them to bring into, because nobody's doing stuff like that anymore either. I'm really excited for where people are starting to go with, like, aside from, like, you know, there's a lot of movies, like, really trusting people, like, to make movies about their own culture versus, like, other people trying to desperately make a movie about another culture that isn't theirs. Because, I mean, the movie obviously ends up being weird because they don't understand it and it doesn't resonate with the people of that culture. Case in point, Shang-Chi and Black Panther. Like, the reason those movies were so good, the reason those movies felt so authentic to the characters that were in those movies is because of the people who made that movie. Like, this is to some extent their culture, you know? Which, by the way, I keep pronouncing it Shang-Chi. That's just how it reads. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. I don't want to, you know, get in trouble. I would really like to make it a little bit before I get canceled, please. I just want to make like $1 before I get canceled. But Shang-Chi, it was good. I can't talk about it yet because I think it's only been out for like a week or so, or a couple days. I don't know. I don't do math. But go watch it. It was actually really good. I liked it. Not my super favorite like Marvel movie out there. But I mean, the solo movies, like the starter solo movies, they rarely ever are. Doc Strange was, I think, the last one that I was like in love with. But that's just because I'm a weirdo and I like weird stuff. Case in point, The Matrix. But yeah, I've been talking about The Matrix for way too long now. We're 22 minutes in and I've talked about gas stations and The Matrix. But you understand, bro. You understand. Whoever you are, all 6 of you, I love you. And you understand because you listen to this podcast and you get it. You know that The Matrix was rad. And if you, dude, I got to see it in Dolby Digital. Best experience of my entire life. That movie is baller. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm excited for this one, but I really hope they don't screw it up. Because the Wachowskis, if we know anything about them, they screw it up a lot, dude. Cloud Atlas was a travesty. Jupiter Ascending was a travesty. These people just need to make movies about people living inside of a simulation. Because that's where their bread and butter is. But also, don't do number 2 or number 3 again. Don't do any of that. I don't need any of that. I don't need any of that. Also, explain to me how Neo's alive. And that's it. Bada bing. I really like the concept of this movie. I hope that it's as weird as it looks. And I hope that it's also as good, if not better than the OG Matrix. But also, don't get too nostalgic. It can be gratuitous. And that's all I'm going to talk about with the Matrix. But that is something I wanted to talk about because of the fact that I love The Matrix, and The Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time, and the trailer came out, and we're gonna get a new one. I'm ready, bro. I'm ready. I'm sorry. All that was kind of basically obnoxious, but now I'm going to introduce to you, but I'm gonna take a sip of my Mountain Dew first. Now I'm going to introduce to you our new, because I told you, like, we're a conspiracy podcast, we are a movies podcast, and now apparently we are a gas station review podcast. But also, I'm adding something else to the list, and I know some of you are probably going to roll your head, you're going to roll your head to the back of your eyes. You're going to roll your eyes to the back of your head. You may or may not. We are a Bachelor podcast. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Bachelor in Paradise is my absolute jam right now. If you don't watch The Bachelor in Paradise, I can smell your toxic masculinity from here. If you do not, it could be because of the fact that I'm Mexicano, and Mexicanos love the chisme. And if you don't know what chisme is, oh, too bad. Not explaining it. Mexicanos love the chisme. And I love the chisme, dude. And the show is pure chisme. That's all it is. I love the dramas, man. And Bachelor in Paradise is insane right now. And if you aren't watching, if you haven't been watching Bachelor in Paradise, do yourself a favor. Log into Hulu right now. Log into Hulu. Go watch the episodes. Pause this podcast. Go watch the episodes. Get all caught up with this season, season 7 of Bachelor in Paradise, and come on back to me. Just come on back to me, because I am not gonna give you the one week thing only counts for things that are not accessible to you immediately. Which, I mean, and so TV shows, essentially, because we can stream anything nowadays. And also, I can't talk about cable television shows because I don't have cable because your boy's broke. I watch Bachelor in Paradise a day after it comes out because your boy's broke. Because Verizon, this is how poor, you want to know how poor I am? I watch Bachelor in Paradise with ads. I watch Bachelor in Paradise with ads. And here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want to say to any of you listening right now. If you subscribe to YouTube TV, and you watch these shows live and you get ads, I want to say, what's wrong with you? You moron. Live TV has ads that last 5 minutes. I'm so poor. I use Hulu. I watch it a day later, but my ads are a minute and 30 seconds. I call that a win-win, baby. I call that a win-win. Who's the winner? Me, both times. I win because cheap, and I win because shorter ads. Dude, I go over to my mother-in-law's house, and she watches cable. She watches, like, TV over the antenna. She keeps up on The Bachelor stuff, and she watches it over the antenna, and I kid you not, every single time that there's ads, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I want to die. I want to die. I never have felt more suicidal than when I'm watching TV using an antenna. Or, like, a cable. Cable is a travesty. I'm going to pay $300 a month to watch. Dude, 30-minute shows, 30-minute episodes. It's the weirdest thing. 30-minute episodes last an hour. Where's the extra 30 minutes coming from? Hey, TV, where's the extra 30 minutes coming from? Why is my episode of SpongeBob taking 40 minutes to complete? It's because of ads, man. It's because of ads. For some reason, I sat there as a child in the 90s watching yogurt ads. And not even the 90s. I'm a 90s baby, but I'm a 2000s baby. I was sitting there in the 2000s watching ads, watching yogurt ads and, like, Respect the Pouch ads for 10 minutes at a time, dude. How many times do I need to be reminded to respect the pouch? And then you go back, they give you 5 minutes of TV, and then back to the ads, dude. It's no wonder... It's no wonder we're messed up. It's no wonder we got kids with ADHD. I want it now, bro. I've been waiting all my life for instant content. Gimme. But then I'm too poor to pay for no ads, so thank you, Verizon. But we're a Bachelor podcast now, dude. If you haven't been keeping up with Bachelor in Paradise, pause it right now because I'm going to talk about this stuff. And if you have been keeping up with Bachelor in Paradise, let's get to it. Because I'm pissed. The thing about this show is that all these people, this season is one of my favorite ones in specific because of the fact that because I'm watching two simultaneously because of the fact that I'm addicted to this season. I got addicted to the show, so I love this season. But at the same time, in between the weeks, because they release them insanely, like the schedule for this show is unreal. Like, I don't even know how they keep it up. But so in between episodes, because I have to wait a week, me and my wife watch Bachelor in Paradise season 3 right now, which is the one with Chad, which, by the way, Chad, like, what the hell, bro? But that's another one. But so we watch that. And one of the things that I'm noticing that I like about this one, the current season versus season 3, is the fact that season 3, there's like no people. Which you wouldn't imagine this one would have more people because of the fact that, like, COVID's going on through it. But, like, there's no people in season 3. Like, literally, they have, like, the ratio right off the bat was, like, I think it was, like, 10 to 11 girls. Like, 10 guys to 11 girls. And I was just like, nope. Like, absolutely not. Like, are you kidding me? Versus this one? Like, the first episode, there was people coming in consistently. Like, and it wasn't just like, oh, hey, there's one person right there. No, no, no. Like, they drop like 7 people at a time. Like, all of a sudden, there's like 25 people on this beach. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, how are some of these people even still here? The ratios are all messed up, dog. And I'm just like losing my mind because it's every single episode we get somebody new and it's a constant steady flow of like people. But also, one of the things I love about this season is the studio is so obviously trying to ruin people's lives. Like, so clearly trying to ruin these people's lives. Joe and Serena. Joe, let me tell you about Joe. Here's what I think. And hopefully right now I don't have to explain who the hell Joe is. Because everybody listening is currently up to date on the batch. The batch pad, you know? But Joe... And my sister's going to get mad at me for saying this, but she doesn't listen to this podcast anyway because my family doesn't support me. Joe, however, is a useless piece of meat sitting on this beach, dude. He literally came, he wanted to be with one girl. There was another dude interested in that same girl, and he got all sad real quick. He got so sad so fast. And then after like a day of talking to Serena, Serena's the girl that he wanted to talk to. After a day of talking to Serena, Serena's an angel. Obvio que Serena, she gets asked out on a date. And I'm sitting there like, obvio, ¿qué va a pasar? Obviously, it's going to happen, Joe. Like, she's a hot commodity. Literally, like, right off the bat, like, 3 dudes were saying that they wanted to talk to her. And Joe gets all sad. If she gets asked on a date, I think I'm gonna leave. And she gets asked on a date, obvio. And here's the thing about it. Joe, because Serena goes up to Joe and says, like, hey, I'm gonna go on this date. Like, I just want you to know, like, they don't want to miss out on opportunities for, like, love with, like, somebody else. So, like, they feel like they owe it to themselves to, like, come here and actually get that experience of, like, trying to see, you know, if they can find their perfect person. And because that perfect person might not be Weak Boy Joe, the guy who's introduced to you as Grocery Store Joe or Gym Bro Joe, whatever they call him at first. But Joe gets all sad. Joe gets all sad because she's going on this date. I'm like, yo, Joe, I'm just telling you right now, this chick met you a day ago and she got asked on a date. She don't owe you a thing, bro. And she came up to you to make sure you were going to be okay and that she had a conversation about it with you before she went. I don't know about you, dude, but that's a win-win in my opinion. And you're the winner in both situations. You're the winner, but she clearly has, like, likes you. She clearly values the connection that you guys have. And that's a word that I hate that I just used because they use it so much in this show. She clearly values what you guys have
after a day.
So what you all sad for, Joe? He was moping around all day, dude. If I was in Joe's position and Serena did that, she came up to me and she got asked on a date. She came up to me, asked me, like, told me that stuff, like, said, like, hey, you know, came up to me, gave me the time of day rather than just go off and get ready for her date. Bro, I'm wiping my hands and I'm chilling back, dude. I'm sipping margaritas and I'm paradising it up, dude. I'm paradising it up. You don't have to talk to other people. ¿A qué me importa? But all I gotta say is this, bro. I'd be chilling, dude. I'd be playing Xbox. Like, oh, I feel pretty good about where I am. That's not Joe's accent, but dude, Joe, at first he was just such a, you know, and then like, but like the thing that I was trying to get to with this whole like the studio's trying to ruin people's lives is they bring in Kendall. Oh, you know Joe's in the middle of something, and you knew that this was gonna throw Joe for a little bit of a loop, and you brought her in anyway. Without, and you know what you did? See, this is my problem, is that the studio, I don't care the fact that they brought Joe, that they brought Kendall in to talk to Joe, and Kendall's all like, oh, I might still be in love with Joe. I don't care about that. What I care about is the fact that if that would have gone wrong, if that would have gone sideways, Serena would have been hurt. You're hurting people, dude. There's collateral damage with these decisions, bruv. And that was my initial... Like, first, like, the drama in this show is so gnarly, bro. And then it escalated. Not a lot has happened. Like, not a lot enormously has happened this season so far. I mean, we're only, like, I want to say, like, 6 episodes in, 7 episodes in. I don't know. I don't know how many episodes in. I don't do math. But, like, the big highlights are that. There was one. That was one of them. One of my big gripes. The other one. Is okay, so obviously, you know, the what's his face, Brendan, for some reason, like this whole time, with this show, Natasha's been like, they've been moving really slow. Brendan and Natasha had a thing, they've been moving really slow, and she's always like, I don't know, I really feel like I have a good connection. My question is this: how? How do you feel like you have a good connections? Like, it might just be, you know, bad editing, or it might just be like us not being able to see everything in the hour and a half that these episodes take. But here's all I'm saying, Natasha. How did you feel anything with that man? Dude, the dude, he was a goon. He was a zombie boy. The connection that she had with this man was that he was cute and he was cool with you. And like, literally when we would watch them, like, when they would come up on the screen, all I could think was like, oh my god, he's dull. He's dull, bro. Like, he gives you nothing. And she's over here like, oh, I really want to further this. I'm like, what? He gives you nothing. There's a reason you haven't kissed in a long time. And at first I was like, there's a reason you haven't kissed in a, you haven't kissed at all. And then that first kiss was weak. That first kiss was weak sauce, dude. And I'm just like, there's a reason. There's a reason the first kiss was weak. There's a reason why it's moving so slowly. And I initially, my thought for that reason was because he's dull, bro. He's dull. He doesn't care. And I was kind of right. But then it escalated with the whole Piper thing. And he tries to like play it off because he knows the fact that we're watching, dude. He knows the fact that we're watching, we're sitting there, we can hear everything he's saying. He even, like, scratches his mic and stuff, but, like, at first, like, on that date with Piper, like, he's just like, oh, yeah, like, I've been moving along, so, like, yeah, I'll have, like, a couple connections. And then she's like, well, I don't know why you're being like this, dog. Like, I came down here to be with you, fam. Like, and you're talking about, like, wanting to, like, be with other people or, like, so. He's like, oh, no, I'm joking, dog. I'm joking. Yeah, we totally scammed. And then bada bing. Bada bing, it sounds like ABC just got scammed. And they're just like, yeah, I just came down here to, you know, hang out with my boyfriend. Which, like, bro. Well, what? Like, right then and there, producer, question mark, producer, where are you? Producer, how long are they staying here at this thing? Like, what, they've been here for, like, a week or so? In my book, let me do the calculations. Oh, that sounds like $2,000 per person. All that alcohol. Beachside hotel. Food, I imagine. They feed them. Oh, producer, let me do the math real quick. Oh, yeah, it looks like that's... Let me crunch the numbers. A buttload of money. For both of them. And you're not going to kick them off? They scammed you, ABC. They scammed you. And for some reason, it just gets, like, swept under the rug. It's just, like, under the rug. And Natasha's, like, obviously pissed.
Because why wouldn't you be? That's a weird thing to happen. But also, like, I feel for Natasha. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for what happened to you. But also, you were getting nothing, girl. The dude was a cracker. The dude, and that's not a word. He's white because he is very white. The dude was a stale, man. He was doing nothing. You sat around for, like, almost 2 weeks with nothing. He gave you a kiss, and it was weak. But I'm not blaming her. I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying, dude, like I would have got rid of him a long time ago and be like, listen, man, I don't feel anything from you. Like, I'm not getting zilch, nada. Which she was saying she was not feeling. And I was like, nah, I'm not getting anything from you. Sayonara. See ya later. Plenty of dudes came in. Bada bing. See ya. But no. No, she put her eggs in one basket. And that basket ended up being zilch. Because now they're just chilling in paradise. ABC, sounds like you got scammed. And for some reason, like, nobody just talks about it. Like, people get mad, but nobody talks about it. Everybody's like, wow, that's kind of weird. That's kind of, like, crazy how, like, that happened. Because, like, obvio, the minute Piper walks in, obvio que estaba esperando este. His eyes just... That's the sound that they made. His eyes went... Because he was so excited because this is what he's been waiting for. He's like, oh, yeah. Here we go, dog. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I came to paradise for. I'm going to get so many Instagram followers. And then his Instagram followers tanked. And then we thought, like, oh, okay, cool. Piper, Brendan, like, let's just nothing with this, you know? But then... Let me talk about the other situation. Yesenia and Ivan, which, by the way, cute, cute couple. Air quotes, one of the strongest couples on the beach. Yesenia gets wooed by Mr. Chris Man, one of the smoke bros, which, by the way, right off the bat, you calling chicks a smoke show? Yesenia, what are you doing? What are you doing? Obvio, dude. Like, and Chris Wu... I'm not saying, like, oh my god, I'm gonna get canceled. Chris woos her away. Like, literally, like, I'm gonna get canceled. He sweeps her off her feet, man. And she felt this spark with him. And she goes to Ivan, she's like, yeah, like, you check the boxes. And he's got the spark. And Ivan's like, what's more important? And she's like, I mean, you can't fake a spark. You can't make a spark happen. And he's like, all right, bet. I'm a dip. Gets saved by Deandra that week because Deandra's a goddess. So Ivan's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Don't know how he's still here. He's not making it. Ivan got heartbroken by Yesenia and made zero moves. He's cruising off that rose from Deandra. But then Yesenia and Chris, you know, their thing, or Yesenia, I don't know. Soy Mexicano, entonces, you know, we spell it with a Y sometimes. Yesenia, she, you know, she's with Chris, but then all of a sudden, oh, what's that? What's that? They go to a party. Yesenia and Chris both get invited to a party by the studio. And this happened this week, dog. This happened a couple days ago, so I'm not spoiling anything. Oh, what's that? Like, they get invited to a party, and they're partying, they're drinking. Oh, halfway through, guess who's showing up? Four chicks, bro. Four new people. And everybody in this room is pretty much, like, the air quotes, booed up. Everybody in here is pretty much, you know, paired off. Except, like, a couple. But Chris... Apparently, he had a thing with this girl. I forgot her name already because they got like 10 minutes of screen time. But legitimately, I kid you not, doesn't even say anything to Yesenia. Yesenia, soy Mexicano. He just beelines it to this chick and just says, yo, can I talk to you for a minute? And he goes... Pulls her off to the side And I swear to God, tongues, this, like, this man is impregnating this chick with his tongue on some ABC paid for couch. And he goes into the ABC paid for club and makes out on this ABC paid for dance floor during this ABC paid for performance with this girl that he clearly already had like a huge connection with, and they were just coming here. Apparently this is a thing, people just come here for the clout, for the clout. And he's like, I like, honestly, like, he's tonguing her down on in front of Jasenia. Like, Jasenia, who he never even talked to her, like, barely, dude. And just said, you know, sayonara, sorry, I felt a connection with this girl. Yeah, the connection was your tongue to her uvula, my guy. And everybody gets livid. Like, everybody on the beach gets livid. Grocery store Joe just comes out of nowhere and just like, yo. Like, he pulls Chris aside and he's like, yo, yeah, we gotta talk, son. We heard about what you did. Making out in front of Jasenia, basically impregnating this chick with your saliva, and we think it's time for you to go. And sure enough, he leaves. He leaves because everybody caught on to him. Everybody's like, yeah, it sounds to me like, you had a relationship with this chick, beforehand, and it sounds to me like you gotta go. And they leave, both of them. He asks her, he's like, I was thinking you could come with me. And she was like, what? Dude, she was pissed that they were leaving. And he tries to get in the same car with her and curves her. Oh! I wanted to throw up, dude. All of that is so cringy and so good, dude. Like, here you were, you thought this was yours, man. You thought you were solid in here to the point that she would want to leave Mexico with you? With you? And be happy about it? Bro, she was about to get a paid vacation to find love in Mexico. And Yaru? You were just trying to bide your time with Jasenia, but then Jasenia clapped back by getting the whole entire beach against you. You? And now you're gone, bro. Sayonara, my guy. And that's not racist. I'm gonna get so canceled. See ya, bro. See ya, both of you. Don't need it. I would have ever wanted to watch you guys. Like, relationships are boring. When you just, it's right, it took 2 minutes for your relationship to blossom into some gross stuff. And Riley and Marissa were a completely different story. Riley and Marissa were kismet, dude. Like, when they were on that date, I was grinning. I was like, wow, they're perfect for each other. They, like, all the boxes and the spark. They were living. I loved it. But then, here's my thing. And I hope that they bring this up on this week. What the hell? Joe's over here like, yeah, it sounds to me like you were having a relationship beforehand, and now you're just here, free paid vacation, time for you to go. And Brendan's over there like, yeah, it sounds like he wasn't really open with his intentions. Natasha's like, what the hell is going on over here, dude? Like, this just happened to me yesterday. And none of you kicked Brendan off the beach. Is it because Brendan's got homies? Is it because Brendan's got homies on the beach? Bro, I don't care. ABC, you got scammed twice. What are you doing? What are you doing, ABC? You got scammed twice. And also, can anybody who's been on the show before, can literally anybody who's been on the show before just call you up and be like, hey, can I go to Mexico? And you're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, we'll fly you down. Yeah. You vexed? Okay. All right, we'll fly you down. ABC. You're getting scammed. And I don't know why nobody cares about Brendan and Piper. Brendan and Piper are literally the most, like, ridiculously obnoxious couple on the beach too. Like, this, I'm honestly just sick and tired of seeing them.
I'm honestly just sick and tired of seeing him. Dude, one of the things I hate about this show is Misa married. I've been through the stuff, you know? I've been through this whole relationship stuff. So I get it. But at the same time, these people are horrible at communicating. These Abigail and Noah almost broke up because they can't communicate correctly. Because they don't know how to word their stuff. Like, hey man, collect your thoughts. Say what you want to say. Stop being metaphorical about it. And just say what you gotta say. I feel like we're slowing down for some reason. And I feel like we're both holding back. So maybe we both shouldn't hold back. And you can trust me. All that kind of stuff. You know, communicate. But instead they're like, yeah, I don't know. Dude, they almost died. The relationship almost imploded. What are you... Because you're bad at communicating. It's happened on multiple occasions with multiple couples. You're bad at, with the Mari situation, Mari. You're bad at communicating. Also, Kenny, how did you accidentally get into a square? How did you actually get into a love square? What's going on, dude? Take it easy. If you got the whole Mari and Demi situation going, maybe say no to Tia. Even though Tia's adorable. Don't know what's going to happen to her. Don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't know which way Kenny's going. Don't know what's going to happen to Tia. She just got here. Kendall's gone. I don't care. I don't give a rat's booty about Kendall. Just so mean to say. Oh, man. I've gone way too long on this episode because we're a bachelor podcast now. But I think I'm going to quit it there because that's all I got to talk about, man. Tune in next week, man. I watch it on Wednesday. I do my podcast on Saturday, and you're going to listen about it. I won't talk about gas stations for as long as I did on this one, though. But I feel like this was a chill. I feel like this was a lax episode, man. If any of your opinions are different than mine, or if you hate me because of any of my opinions, tell me. Tweet me at Take a Ripper Pod on Twitter. Tweet me. I will respond. I literally get notifications from Twitter. All of my notifications that I get on Twitter are my recommendeds because I'm sad. I'm a sad boy with no friends. I'm a sad boy with no friends even when the internet exists. I'm a sad boy with no friends even when the internet exists. So tweet me. Tweet me. Talk to me about movies. Talk to me about Bachelor. Tell me I'm stupid. Tell me Shang-Chi was incredible. It was. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was actually super good. Watch it. Go watch it. Go watch Shang-Chi. I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. I don't want to get canceled. Please. Don't come after me. Tweet me. Show your mom this episode. Show your grandma. Your uncle. Your cousin. Show your people this episode. If they like this kind of stuff. I don't know. Let's get me to the moon. Huh? I want to be like Jeff Bezos. I want to be like Jeff Bezos, but if I could just not work so hard for it. I've got a billionaire mindset with a poor boy wallet. So let's change that. Oh, no, I'm joking. I do this as a release. And if people like it, good for you. Good for you. All six of you. I love you. See ya.